The Gospel of John, chapter 7, and verse 46. Verse 46 is our text for this morning. The officers, that is, the officers of the Pharisees and the high priests, probably the officers of the members of the Sanhedrin, said this about the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Never man spake like this man." The question that had arisen among the people who heard the Lord Jesus Christ was, is this Jesus of Nazareth the promised Messiah? Could the carpenter's son actually be the one about whom the prophets wrote, Israel's long awaited Redeemer? Eventually, many were convinced that this indeed was he. The Pharisees, on the other hand, believed that this stranger from Galilee was nothing more than an imposter. Therefore, they determined that he should be arrested and taken out of the way. So the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Verse 32. The word "take" there means to apprehend. They didn't want more people to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. Sometime later, the officers returned to their masters, but they had failed to apprehend him, and they returned empty-handed. They were challenged about their failure to take him. "Why have you not brought him?" was the question. "Why have you not apprehended this Jesus of Nazareth?" The Pharisees may have expected a very different answer to the one that they actually received. They may have expected the officers to have said, "He eluded us. He resisted arrest and escaped." Or perhaps they may have expected the officers to have said, "Well, his disciples and followers prevented us from taking him." That is what they may have expected. But the response that they received from the officers, I'm sure, was not what they expected. When asked, "Why have ye not brought him?" we read, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." What a wonder is this, that the ungodliest of men had been conquered by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men were no sympathizers of Jesus of Nazareth. They were ungodly men. They were men of the world. And yet when they went to arrest the Lord Jesus and heard him speak, They were unable to carry out the orders that had been given to them. For they said, never man spake like this man. They had been conquered by the words and the speech of Christ. And dear Christian, we can take heart from this. We can take encouragement from these words, for this informs us that there is hope for that loved one of ours who is not saved as yet, who stands with the ranks of the ungodly, who are far from God. They also can be arrested by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For His word, Jesus Christ, is able to disarm the fiercest enemy by the power of His word. And these officers that were given the power and authority to arrest Christ were rendered helpless. And they were asked why. And the answer that they gave was, never man spake like this man. They'd been mesmerized. They'd been captivated, completely disarmed by the speech and the words of Jesus Christ. And to their masters they had to confess, never man spake like this man. That would surely be our testimony of the stranger of Galilee also. You remember when you first heard his voice to you, his word to you? You remember that time you heard him say to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Do you remember how that word gripped your heart? Do you remember how that word brought conviction to your soul? You could easily have said, never man spake like this man. Do you remember also when he said unto us, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink? Do you remember when he spoke those words to us, invited us to come to him, and we were compelled to come upon hearing his word? And our testimony to this day is the same as the officers. Never man spake like this man. When he spoke to us and reminded us, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when we realized we were lost, and Jesus Christ had come to seek us out and to save us, and he told us so, those words laid hold upon our hearts. We said, never man spake like this man. I've never heard anyone speak to me like this. That's what we want to consider this morning. Never man spake like this man. When we look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we look at his preaching, when we consider his conversations with individuals, we can say, never man spake like this man. What kind of a speaker was Christ that prompted the officers of the Pharisees to say, never mind, speak like this man. What was special about Christ as a speaker? I think that, first of all, Jesus Christ was a plain speaker. It is obvious that the officers here in our text were impressed with the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They had obviously heard him speak. They had heard other men speak. And here they draw a comparison to the speaking of Christ and to others whom they had heard speak. And their verdict, never man spake like this man. We have never heard a man speak like this man. They drew this comparison between the words of Jesus of Nazareth and other men, and their conclusion that they came to, never man spake like this man. He was a plain speaker. And if he was one who spoke like no one else, that tells us he was a superior speaker. Superior to anyone else. The officers believed that the Lord Jesus was superior to anyone they had ever heard. He was plain. These officers, remember, were ungodly men. And yet they were greatly impressed. These were uneducated men. They were mere servants to the members of the Sanhedrin. Yet they were impressed with the words of Christ. They used a very strong word when they said, never man speak like this man. Take the word never. The word never means no, not even at any time. It tends to emphasize really what they were saying. Not even at any time have we ever heard a superior speaker to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even at any time. The Lord himself used the word when he was speaking about the last day, the great day of judgment, when he would sit upon his throne and judge all of the ungodly, including false professors, those who professed to know the Lord, those who went out and said, Lord, Lord, we have done many things in thy name. And the Lord will say unto them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's the same word, never. And so what the Lord Jesus was saying to the false professors, not even at any time did I know you. At no time did I know you. The same word is used by those who observed the Savior healing the man sick of the palsy. It is written, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never, same word, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it like this before, not even at any time. At no time or no place did we see a miracle like this wrought. And that's the word that the officers used to describe Christ. Never man. Never. Not even at any time. Have we heard one speak as the Lord Jesus spoke? Church, God has been pleased to bless the church with many great preachers down through the years. Mighty men of God, men that people traveled many miles. They didn't have the mode of transport that we have today. They would walk many miles to hear these great men preach. The Bible tells us about some of those such men, those great preachers. Apollos. It is said of Apollos that he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. But Christ was superior to Apollos. What did the officer say? Never man spake like this man. Not even Apollos. What about Paul? Paul's speech and preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And no doubt Paul was a mighty preacher. He preached in the demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost. But not even Paul spoke like this man. Never. Not even at any time. Jesus Christ is the superior preacher. We all know the title that was given to C.H. Spurgeon. Descriptive of his preaching. Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. You know that his tabernacle there in London was filled to capacity at every meeting. And everywhere he went, the buildings were crammed to capacity to hear this great preacher. The Prince of Preachers. Read his sermons and you'll know why he was given that title. But if C.H. Spurgeon was the Prince of Preachers, Jesus Christ was the King of Preachers. Because never man spake like this man. He was a superior speaker. He was a simple speaker. These officers would not have been all that well educated, as was said. They were the mere servants to the Sanhedrin, yet the testimony which they came to their masters with was never man spake like this man. Now that tells me that these officers understood what the Lord had said. They surely would not have said this had this testimony had they not been able to understand. That tells me then that the Lord Jesus is a very plain speaker. That even these ungodly, uneducated officers could understand what the Lord said. There was in this teaching, and we know this by reading the Gospels, there was in this teaching a depth so vast that the greatest human intellect could not fathom it. Yet he spoke with such plainness of speech that uneducated men could understand what he said. Oh, what a preacher Jesus Christ was. That is perfectly illustrated for us over in the Gospel of Mark. If you turn, please, to Mark 12. And there in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. In verse 35, Verse 35, Mark 12, And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, By the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord here is teaching his hearers the deep things of God. He's revealing unto them the mysteries of God. Now look at the next verse. Verse 37, David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. That indicates to me the Lord was a plain speaker. That the common people, the ordinary people, the uneducated people, heard preaching of Christ and heard it gladly. They could understand what he was saying. You take that word gladly. The common people heard him and they heard him gladly. The word gladly means sweetly, with relish. Sweetly with relish. They relished the preaching of Christ. It was food to their souls. It was like manna from heaven. Isn't that how the manna was described? As sweet as honey. Well, the word that the Lord gave to the people was as sweet as honey. They heard him gladly with relish. That tells me they were able to understand him. The common people gathered around him and heard his preaching. And many times in Scripture, in the Gospels, do you read of children being in the company of Christ. The Lord Jesus had children around him. He would have them sit upon his knee. He would hold them in his arms. Even the children could understand him. The children warmed to the plain speaking of the Lord Jesus. He spoke in short sentences. With plain words, often in parables. He spoke about eggs and fish and sheep and candles and bushels. Children could understand them. The common people could understand them. The officers understood them. And after listening to him, they said, Never, not even at any time, never. Man spoke like this man. We have never heard anyone speak like this. What a wonderful testimony. We have a wonderful Lord. Superior, simple, and he was straightforward. The Lord Jesus did not speak simply to please men. It was his testimony, was no respecter of persons. When the Lord Jesus preached, the Lord Jesus was interested in pleasing but one person. He came to please his heavenly Father. And he delivered the word that his heavenly Father gave to him. He was straightforward. With the Lord Jesus, we know that today. We read his word. We know where he stands. And so those who heard his ministry and listened to his preaching, everybody knew where Christ stood. There was no ifs, buts, or maybes in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. What Paul said, the Lord Jesus could easily have said. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And so it was with the Lord Jesus. It mattered not who was in the audience. Pharisee, Sadducee, scribe or chief priest. Didn't matter. The Lord Jesus delivered the truth with a straightforwardness that caused his enemies to hate him and plan his death. Let's see just how straightforward the Lord was in his ministry. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 13, the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, people that men looked up to. And here in verse 13, the Lord is speaking and he says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's straightforward enough. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. That's straightforward enough. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. My, that's straightforward enough. That's plain enough. That's simple enough. Woe unto you, ye blind guides. And so it goes on. Verse 17, ye fools and blind. You come down to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Look at verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a knot and swallow a camel. Verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, and ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's plain speaking. That's a passage of scripture that the old ecumenist today would love to take a penknife and cut it out of the Bible. That's not the Christ that the ecumenist and the modernist will preach today. They don't know anything about this Christ, but this is the Christ we love. Praise God for his straightforwardness. Didn't he speak with this straightforwardness and boldness to us? Didn't he tell us when we were in our sin? If we did not likewise repent, or if we did not repent, we would all likewise perish. Didn't he tell us that? And praise the Lord, he told us that. We thank him for it. Good to know where you stand. May we know where we stand with the Lord Jesus. He was fearless. And he was faithful. That's why they said of the Lord Jesus, never man spake like this man. He was fearless and faithful. No one, I say again, no one was more faithful in his ministry than the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is as faithful as God is faithful, because he is God. Never man spake like this man. He is the Son of God. He's God the Son. And who could speak as God speaks? None but Jesus Christ. When they heard the Lord Jesus, when those officers went to arrest him, and they stood wherever it was listening to his preaching, you know who they were listening to? They were listening to God speak. They were listening to the preaching of God. That's why they said, never a man spake like this man. He was faithful when he rebuked. He was faithful when he encouraged. He was faithful when he spoke about holiness. He was faithful when he spoke about worldliness. And dear child of God, we thank him for his faithfulness when he speaks to us about these matters. We would add our amens to the words of the officers. When they said, never man spake like this man, we also would say, Amen. Never man spake to our souls like this man. Never. So the Lord Jesus was a plain speaker. He was also a profound speaker. How can you marry the two? They're married in Jesus Christ, plainness, and one who speaks profound things. And yet, remember again, believer, he was profound in his speech and in his preaching, and yet children sat on his knee listening to him speak. No wonder the officer said, never man spake like this man. The officers had obviously heard him speak. You look there and verses 37 to 39, the Lord Jesus is speaking and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's profound truth. He's speaking about the Holy Ghost. He's speaking about his own glorification. That's profound truth. And the officers heard him speak these profound truths, and their verdict was, never man spake like this man. Never man spoke truth like this man. Spoke the truth. There have been many preachers of the truth. Many preachers have preached faithfully profound truth, but none of them would match Christ. None of them could tie the laces of our Savior's sandals. Consider his attitude. When the Lord Jesus preached profound truth, he always delivered truth with grace. Isn't that what is written about him in John 1 verse 14? We have seen him. He has seen his glory, full of grace and truth. We've begun that study of Psalm 45 in our prayer meetings on Wednesday night. In verse 2 of Psalm 45, that royal psalm, the psalmist says this about the Lord Jesus. He says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips." But dear child of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, grace was poured out of his lips. Truth was accompanied by grace. Turn please to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus commences his ministry. He begins at home. He begins in Nazareth. He's gone into the synagogue. The minister has handed the Savior the scriptures. He has opened the scriptures at Isaiah 61. He has read the scriptures. He has closed the book and he has given it again to the minister. And he sat down in verse 20 in the synagogue of all them that were, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, listen to it, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He was giving unto them profound truth. And what was it caught their attention? The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And you read that sermon that he preached in the synagogue that day, and it's a sermon about election. And he preached the doctrine of election with grace. Such is the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It was his attitude when he preached. Sometimes you come across preachers, and when they're preaching doctrine and the profound things of God, it's almost as if they're angry with the congregation. It's almost as if they're angry with God. It's almost as if they're angry with themselves. Not so Christ. Every eye was fastened on him in that synagogue. And they wondered and they were amazed at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. I tell you, believer, I tell you again, never man spake like this man. Spoke with authority. Such authority. As we said, when the Lord Jesus spoke, it was never if, maybe, or but. When he spoke, he never said, "It may be so, it can be proven, or it is highly probable." You ever heard Christ coming out with phrases like that. No. When the Lord Jesus spoke, one of his favorite phrases was, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, truly, truly." In other words, when people heard Christ speak, they knew he was preaching the truth, and he spoke the truth with authority. That's what you like about the Savior's ministry. That's what you like about any man's ministry who preaches the truth, and he preaches it with authority. None of this nonsense today that we hear from the modernists. Oh, there are certain parts of Mark's gospel not inspired. Oh, and the prophecy of Isaiah is divided up into two or three. There were two or three authors to the prophecy of Isaiah, and you're left in doubt. Oh, well, maybe there was another writer to the book of Isaiah. Or maybe the last few verses of Mark's gospel don't really belong to the inspired word. I came across something the other day. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verse 1. "And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said," now here you have the first recorded words of the devil. First words spoken by Satan. "And he said unto the woman, Yea hath God said." You take the word yea, first word, the very first word that Satan uttered, that's recorded in Scripture. You know what that word yea means? The word yea means, "Is it true?" And so the first word spoken by the devil was casting doubt on the word of God. "Is it true?" he said to the woman. "Is it true what God said?" And that's what the modernist is about today. He puts the word yea over a host of portions of God's word. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? When Jesus Christ preached, everybody knew it was true. He spoke with authority. Never man spake like this man. As it is written in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 21, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." Not as the scribes. They didn't speak or teach with authority, but Jesus Christ did. Never man like this man. No man ever spoke as Christ spoke. He was profound, a profound speaker, whatever truth he preached or whatever topic he dealt with. The Lord Jesus was an expert in every topic that he dealt with. He and he alone was able to make known the mysteries of the kingdom. He was able to reveal the hidden things of God. He spoke with great authority, whatever the subject. He revealed to his hearers, he was able to tell them what lay for them beyond the grave. He was able to tell them that. was able to describe for them in very vivid colors and in a very vivid way. He was able to describe the lake of fire. He was able to describe the eternal torment. He was able to describe the darkness of hell forever. No one else was able to do that. Never man spake like this man. He was able to tell them about heaven, what it looks like, and the bliss and the joy and the happiness that's there, and the portion of glorified saints. No one else was ever able to do that. He was able with authority to teach his hearers about prayer, about faith, about the Sabbath, about election, about love, about kindness, about forgiveness, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit, about his sufferings, about the cross. I tell you, never man spake like this man. Every preacher has his own, perhaps pet subject that he's an authority on. I'd like to be an authority on, but the Lord Jesus was an authority on every subject. Never man spake like this man. And his testings, and with this we'll close, his enemies were ever present to try and ensnare him. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 8, there you read about his enemies in verses 5 and 6. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, that is, the woman taken in adultery. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. How was the Lord going to answer? Well, he answered in such a way that after he had written on the ground and lifted up his head, there wasn't one of the woman's accusers left. He had silenced every one of them. Never man spake like this man. And the Pharisees and the Herodians got together and attempted to entangle the Lord Jesus in his speech. Matthew chapter 22. And once again, Matthew 22 verses 15 to 17, he silenced them. He had nothing to say. Never man spake like this man. The Sadducees thought that they could confound him regarding the teaching on the resurrection. There they came, tried to put a conundrum to him regarding the resurrection. Verse 23 of Matthew 22, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask the Master. Moses said, if we die, have no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise seed up unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and they go on with this conundrum. How's the Lord going to answer? Well, we discover in verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Put them to silence. Nothing to say. I tell you, never man speak. If we had time, we would consider that he was a powerful speaker. He stilled the tempest. He supported the troubled. He did all this by the word of his power. Never man spake. speck like the sky. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the person of our Savior. Rejoice, Lord, over that day when we first heard the voice of our Beloved. When John heard it, Lord, in the Isle of Patmos, it was as the sound of many waters. Lord, I remember those days when we sat under the gospel and we were in our sin. The voice of God came to us as the sound of many waters. We were afraid. Lord, I remember then also in the darkness of the night, in the stillness, we heard the still, small voice of God. How it spoke to us. How it convicted us. How it troubled us. O Lord, we rejoice today that never man spake like this man. We thank Thee for speaking to us as, Lord, Thou did speak to us. Now, Lord, bless the word to our hearts today. Gracious Lord, use it to lead us into a closer walk with Thee and to create a greater interest, Lord, in Thine own word. Bless us, Lord, this day, and I will return us to the meeting house tonight to learn more about our Savior. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.